Elder Rick Olson.
Thank you, David. Excuse me. excuse me. The title for this sermon this morning is To Be Sanctified and To Be at Peace. You know, sanctification is about the work that God does within us. And it's up to us to be at peace with it. That whatever course he takes in our life or sets in our life, that we abide in it. And so I'd like to open with a couple scriptures. In fact, I have a lot of scriptures this morning. And thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I have sent him, the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way thou shouldest go, hath done it. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. And so, you know, God has many times in history worked with his covenant people, with those of Israel, to gather them in. And he did many works and wonders for them. And yet they did not always obey. They did not always go the way that he would have preferred. And so thy seed also hath been as the sand of the offspring, of thy bowels like gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not. He led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also, and the waters gushed out. And notwithstanding, he hath done all this, and greater also. There is no place, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And so there is no peace for the wicked, but those that will hearken unto the voice of God, those that will be directed by his purposes, there is peace. And those that call upon the name of God, he protects them, he provides for them, and he cares for them. And so there is sanctuary in God and peace. And again, hearken, O ye house of Israel, all ye that are broken off and are driven out because of the wickedness of the pastors of my people. Yea, all ye that are broken off, that are scattered abroad, which are of my people, O house of Israel. And so he calls to them, and he has called to Israel over and over and over again. And yet the choice of the nation has not always been according to what God has for them. It has been oftentimes another path they choose of their own. And so we have this choice in our life. You know, we can choose wickedness, or we can choose sanctuary with God. And this is the choice that he offers us. And God is holy. And so this is something that we have to realize, that we have to make peace with, is that God is holy. And his process, this sanctification, is the work that he does in us to make us holy. Because if we are to be called God's people, that God would take ownership of our lives, we must be holy as he is. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. You know, one of the Ten Commandments is not to take the Lord's name in vain, because his name is holy. If we take it in vain, we make it not holy. And so his commandment is that it be holy amongst us if we are to be his. And that's that process of sanctification that he performs in our lives, to sanctify us and make us holy according to his will. God demands that his people should reflect his holiness. And so if we are to be called God's people, people must look at us, others must see in us that holiness of God. They must be able to look at us and tell that we're different, that we're set apart from the rest of the world, that we are unique as God's people. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. It's a commandment. It's required by God's purpose. And so it would seem to be that that would be an unattainable goal for us. But for every commandment that God gives us, he gives it with purpose. And so there is also a way to accomplish it. He will not give us a commandment that we cannot accomplish. And if we endeavor to accomplish that, he will be with us and he will help us. Verse 13, 1 Peter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you his holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so through Jesus Christ, we are able to be holy. He has called us to that. And that's that work that Christ has in us to prepare us for our Heavenly Father, to prepare us to meet God. And in order for that to be so, we must be holy as he is holy, if we are to stand before him and to commune with him and have eternal life with him. We must be holy. And so that work that Christ does in us is to make us holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And it came to pass that the... And God is without respect of persons. And the respect of persons it's talking about here is not your station in life, not how much money you have, whether you're rich or poor, or whether you have a degree in a schooling or not, whether you're the preacher standing and speaking, or whether you're the hearer. That's not the respect of persons that's talking about. He's talking about he has no respect of persons, those that are of the house of Israel, or those that are the Gentiles, or the heathen. His word is for all. His purpose is for all. And so if we have heard the word of God, it doesn't matter what station of life we are in. It doesn't matter who we are, where we're from. God's purpose can be filled in within us, and he can make us holy if we allow the work of Christ to continue in our lives. And so, does it matter male or female? We're all the creation of God. His purpose is everything and all-encompassing. And so we are to do this without respect of persons, judging every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And so this time that we have here in this life is short. And it's for that purpose, to make us holy. The Book of Mormon tells us it's our probationary period. We are here for a short time. And so we need to be aware of that. And the fear here is we need to be aware. We will either be considered the wicked, or we will be considered those that God is doing a work with, one or the other. Because his name is holy, correct? And his purposes are holy. And so we need to be aware of that. And it came to pass that the Lamanites did not come again to war against the Nephites until the 14th year of the reign of judges over the people of Nephi. And thus for 3 years did the people of Nephi have continual peace in all the land. And Alma and Amulek went forth preaching repentance unto the people in their temples and in their sanctuaries, and also in their synagogues, which were built after the manner of the Jews. And as many as would hear their words, unto them they did impart the word of God without any respect of persons continually. And so there's no respect before God of persons. You know, they were spreading the word of God, taking the gospel to anyone that would hear it. And that's God's purpose. And so if we say in ourselves that, you know, as they did in the Old Testament, if we said we are of Israel, we are God's chosen people, what do we have to worry? If we say we are members of Christ's church, we are his people, what do we have to worry? And what if we say we are God's people and they are not? Is that God's purpose? He does not respect that. What he respects is his work within you. What he understands is our need to become holy like him. And so think within yourself. Answer honestly. Does God have a work to do in you? Are you holy? It's not the question of whether they are holy. It's a question of whether I am holy. And that's the work that God must do, is to sanctify us and make it so. And so without that sanctification, we have no hope without it. And sanctification is the will of God for his people. And so who are his people? If he has no respect of persons, who are his people? His people are those that are sanctified by the word of God and in his purpose. And so that's a very important concept for us to understand of how God will do that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, we are not saved by our works, for they're the works of man. Our works are imperfect. Our works are not the thing that saves us. It are the works of Jesus Christ that save us. The work of God, that is the work that saves us. And we are that workmanship if we will be holy. And that is God's purpose. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. And so at one time, they were the heathens, separated from God. And heathens because they had no work of God within them. They did not call God holy, nor did God call them holy. But now in Christ Jesus, ye are sometime, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so we are washed by the blood of Christ. We are sanctified by his work within us and called holy. And so it's not our works that do any of that. It is the work of Jesus Christ and God's purpose that does that. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And so through Jesus Christ, we are able to be at peace with God. And to be at peace with God is to be holy, or to be made holy, to be sanctified, to have the work of God in your life. That is to be at peace with God. And so sometimes we look at ourselves and we see all of our flaws and our conscience affects us. And we worry about our future. If we are spiritually minded, we are worried whether we have salvation or not. But we are to be at peace. We need to remember that it is God's purpose, and we must allow God's purpose to work within us and have confidence in that, what he does. Not that we can do anything ourselves to change, that he changes us. He is the builder. He is the creator. He is the potter. We are the clay. And so he must be able to mold us and shape us and build us the way he desires. And all of that process is sanctification. It's the way he makes us holy. It's the way he has designed to make us acceptable and presentable in his presence. And that's the basis for sanctification. God's election of his people. You know, God chooses his people. We don't choose. We can't say, oh, him over there, he is God's. This one over there is God's. Oh, no, he is not God's. God chooses. That's what that word election means, a final judgment. We must choose. And in our choice, if we choose God and we allow him to work in our lives, he will choose us. And then we will be his elect, his choice. Because those that are not his choice are the heathen, whoever they are, those that reject the work of Christ, those that reject the work of the Holy Ghost, those that reject the commandments and the work of God. And so it's important to us that sanctification take place, because that's our desire, to be with God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has chosen a better path for us. He has not chosen the wrath that will be set upon the wicked. He has chosen a future for us, that salvation that is obtained by Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep. We should live together with him. And so, it is quite a statement to realize to be together with God and the magnitude of what that takes. And when we think about that truly, we should not take it for granted of what God has to do to make us acceptable. Because if God will accept us in any other way but perfect, he is not God. He ceases to be who he is. And so there must be this process. There must be this work that is done within us to change us, to make us holy, that we would choose righteousness. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And so we need to have peace with that. That it's nothing that we can do of our own power, of our own strength. And it's nothing that I can expect you as a brother to do of your own power and of your own strength. It can only be done by the will of God and through Jesus Christ and the workings of the Holy Ghost. And none of us can command any of it. And so we need to have peace with that and understand that. And so if I have a struggle with a brother or he with me, be at peace. Because what do you struggle against? Is it you're struggling against God, or are you struggling against the adversary to your soul and to my soul? The one that would separate us, the one that would defeat us. Be at peace. The atoning death of Jesus Christ is part of that work that God does. You know, there was a purpose in Christ's atonement. You know, man fell. And there had to be an atonement for that. There had to be a way to bring men back to the presence of God. And so Jesus Christ fulfilled that and answered that, and he made the way. He made the path for us. And so by the commandments that God has given and by the instruction of Jesus Christ that he tells us, wherefore comfort yourselves. Hit the wrong key. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And so the sacrifice, that physical sacrifice that was being done, the sacrifice of animals, could not make one perfect. And so what that means is that sacrifice was a work of man, was a commandment given that a man should do this. And this was done year after year after year, and it couldn't make it perfect, because there was a remembrance of sin with each one of those sacrifices. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. And so that offering was done over and over and over. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, come, in the volume of a book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither, I think I just read that, pleasure in them. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily administering an offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And so it's talking about a change, putting God's laws in our hearts and in our minds, changing the way we live, changing the way we think, so that year to year, we don't remember those things, so that we forget them, so that we quit doing them, so that we make our lives holy through Jesus Christ, according to his will, by the work of the Holy Ghost. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now we're a remission of sin. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And so that remission of sin must come. And so we have that possibility. We have that path for that remission of sin, that those laws are written in our hearts, that we're motivated by God, that we're motivated by the Holy Ghost. And that if we do that, then remission of sin will come. And then that sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made has a work within us, and it is accomplishing its purpose. Book of Mosiah. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, my friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention that ye may hear and understand and remember, understand the remainder of my words, which I shall speak unto you. For behold, that if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time hath awakened you to the sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body, I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation. through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, and unto the end of the world, and this is the means why means whereby salvation comes. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of, neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. That's it. You know, in our pride as human beings, we all want to think that we have power over our lives. We want to think that somehow we can control our own outcome. And it really comes down to a simple thing, very simple thing, and that is the work of God in your life. That is it. And we don't direct God. We don't command Jesus Christ, nor the Holy Ghost. And so that's humbling. That's humbling to place yourself before God and say, here am I, here I am. That's very humbling. And we need to learn to be at peace with that. Because if we can be at peace with that and accept it, then God can do something with us. And so we have these discussions and these arguments and these ideas that we're judged by what we do and by our works, and that ultimately this will have something to do with our salvation. And the truth of it is the work of God within us that decides whether we will have salvation or not. You know, if there was a graduated ruler that was broken up into parts and said, well, there's 27, I'm just hypothetically, you know, so there's no rationale in this number. So there's 27 steps in this ruler. And by the time we pass from this life into the next, if we are at 22, we didn't make it. It's not how it works. Because if we're at 22, God doesn't think that way anyway. But if we were at 22, it wouldn't matter. If we were at 3, it wouldn't matter. Because the span of our life is different for every person. And the work that God has to do with you and what needs to happen in your life is different for every person. And so I can't decide how God will change my life. I can't decide. I can only reflect on what I know and what he's teaching me, what he makes me aware of through conscience, through my intelligence, through his scripture, through the Holy Ghost, what I need to change, what I need to do. And there's no ruler for that. There's no measurement. There's no stepping guide except the plan that God has laid out. And so there is grace in that. And the grace in that is, it is by God's pleasure. It's by what he does. And so part of that sanctification is grace. And there's many forms of grace. And grace comes in mercy, it comes in forgiveness, it comes in edification. It comes in chastisement. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from the commandments written in the scriptures. It's through grace and by grace. And so grace is all-encompassing, just that term. And call has come to us by the love of God and for one purpose: to make you holy, acceptable before God. what many call salvation. Because what we're saying is we want to be holy because we don't want to be on the side of the heathen. Right? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow of there's a typo. You know, it's kind of frustrating. I have this KJV 1900. It's a research Bible, and sometimes when I copy and paste out of it, there are these little tags, and sometimes it throws a letter in there, and I didn't catch it. So it says, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, is what it's supposed to say. I didn't catch that, so I'm sorry for that confusion. But if you're following along, you can see the error in that. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so that's that fear. That's the fear it's talking about, is that we work that out, that we find grace, that we find that purpose, that that work of sanctification is being performed in our life, that we're being changed, that we're not found without the work of Christ, without the work of the Holy Ghost, without God's purpose. So there is this fear that can come from that. But I say, be at peace with it. I say, be at peace. Because if that's what motivates you to allow God's work in your life, then okay. Then that's what's necessary. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. That's grace. Book of Mormon, Moroni. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. If ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then his grace is sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can no wise deny the power of God. And so that word grace, we've kind of had a brief discussion of all of the things that that includes. That work, that sanctification, that forgiveness, that mercy, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. By his grace, ye may be perfect in Christ, and if by grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And so do you have that power of God in your life? Is it working within you? That's the question. That's the question. What you do to keep it there, to allow for it. You know, if we deny the power of God and we deny his word, we deny the Holy Ghost, we deny Jesus Christ, we deny God himself, and do all those things, then God will have no place in us, and he cannot make us perfect. He cannot make us holy if we do that. And so, we must not do that. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then ye are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. That's the end. That's the mark on the end of the ruler. And how do we get there? Well, that's what we're talking about. Not by what we do, but what God does in us. And so there are several ways this happens. One of the ways is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we had Jesus Christ, his work that he performed, atoned for sins, made the way. And then there's the work of the Holy Spirit. We've got to allow that to work within us. It must have a presence in our lives. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envying, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so we must have that. We must desire to have that Holy Ghost. We must listen to the leadings of the Spirit. We must do according to his will. We must understand. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, if we're getting the picture, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the people of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And so those good works that it's talking about are the things that we do being motivated by the Holy Ghost. Because there's nothing that we can do that's good unless we're motivated. It's under the direction of the Holy Ghost, who comes to us because of Jesus Christ. And that is his work. And so our works that we do are his works, if they're done in him and if they're good. And those are the works. That's kind of a prideful thing, if you think about it, to think that I know how to make my works, not Christ's, not the Holy Ghost, how to make my works worth something. That they're going to stack up because I did them and they're going to mean something. That's a prideful thing. It's not what God's after. He's after the works of Jesus Christ in your life and the Holy Ghost, the things that change you. And so this is a faithful saying. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And so we must have this Spirit to be abide with us, and it is by the purpose and will of Christ that it is with us, by the grace of God. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, And the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And so the weight of that, you know, if we live because Christ also lives, not because what we have done. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And so those commandments are part of that work, part of that work that God has in our lives, if we follow them. It's important. You know, if we say that we have faith, but we don't keep his commandments, then that faith would be dead. It would be meaningless. If we say we have the Holy Spirit, but we don't study and read our scriptures, how can we know what his will is? And so it all works together. He has done multiple things to help us to achieve that goal. And it's important that we do each and every one of them, that we don't leave any of them off, that every one of them can be accomplished in our lives in God's time. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments, and the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, unto the end shall come. Then all the saints shall dwell with God. Each thing is necessary. Each step has that purpose. Each step is part of our sanctification. Each one must be fulfilled, just as it says. So, you know, if we don't repent of our sins, what good is baptism? If we are baptized, we repent of our sins, we're baptized and we have a prideful attitude and the Holy Ghost can't have a work in our lives, where do we stop in that list? Oh, we stopped before the remission of sins. And so we have to go through that. We have to go through this process. And, you know, where we're at in our lives, it doesn't really matter. We can be a young man and further along if we were to measure, not that we can. Or we could be an old man just starting out. It doesn't matter to God. He has this purpose and this process that he follows and that he works with us. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized, and they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit, meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and a witness unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. And after that they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon by cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the church of Christ. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together often to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together often, oft to partake of the bread and the wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. And whosoever was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders. And if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as often as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner and the workings of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them, whether to preach or to exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. And so, church attendance, I'm just going to get blunt, it's important. We deny ourselves when we don't come to church. We deny ourselves of the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit work within us and for us with our brothers and sisters. And we lose out. You know, when you come to church and you sit in the pews, you know, and we're not even filling up the back two or three pews, it's kind of sad. I'm glad that I'm there, but you're all missing out. You're kind of slowing your own progress down. You know, if we want to talk about if we're worried, in this life whether we've attained salvation or not, well, what are you doing? Why are you worried about it? Maybe that's God trying to tell you something that you should kind of get along a little bit more and take part. He's giving you a reminder. And so God's given us many things. You know, he's given us the church. He's given us Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us his commandments. As part of that process. And it wouldn't be wise for us to ignore any one of them. The Word of God is one of those things. It's part of his grace. Part of the process. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them. Make them holy through truth and the word. Of course, we have to do something besides just hearing it. We have to obey and do it. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Works. Again, I want to clarify, those aren't my works, those aren't your works. Thoroughly furnished unto all God's good works. I'm just going to add that in there because that's really the thought that's here in this section of the scriptures. That it's God, his works. And so we gotta kind of get that pride in check once in a while and say, oh, you know, and it comes, you know, I'm too tired. I don't want to go to church. I'm too tired. It's just annoying. I don't want to go to sacrament service. So-and-so's going to get up. And they've told that testimony 10 years ago, and I don't want to hear it again. Pride gets in the way. Self-importance gets in the way. And we have to remember, we have to allow for God to do that work. We have to keep our place and have God's works in our lives. The need for sanctification. You know, we all have needs for that. Every one of us. There's not a single one of human being in the world that doesn't have a need for sanctification. Because of the universal sinfulness of humanity. You know, the Bible says we're all sinners. And this is true. Everyone. Isaiah 46:6. But we are all as unclean as an unclean thing. Not a one of us in here, and I'm kind of making a judgment, but I think it's pretty fair to say that if you had steps for sanctification to one from one to wherever, whatever that last one is, it's pretty safe to say that we're not at the end. I'm saying that about myself, because I've come to church and there's been a few of y'all not there. So I know you haven't taken advantage of everything. And sometimes you get mad at each other. I've seen that. You know, sometimes I get mad and we get impatient for one another. And we're not perfect yet, except God has his work in us to do. And so we are all as an unclean thing to God. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that's not talking about good works that are done in God, good works that are done through the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the things that we do. And what really makes it acceptable is Jesus Christ. You know, we pray in Christ's name to God, and that's for reason. Because if we prayed and we didn't pray in the name of God, our unworthiness would prevent God from hearing our prayer. But we pray in the name of Jesus Christ so that God's ears will open and hear us. And that's why we do it. That's why it's all done in the name of Jesus Christ. And it has to be, because his name is above all others. He is the one that is at the right hand of God and sits beside him. He is the one that is in our lives, that is directing all those things. And so our righteousness without Jesus Christ is nothing. And that's the meaning of this. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities take us like the wind, have taken us away. So if you took our lives and you took away the Holy Ghost and you took away Jesus Christ and you took the commandments of God away and you took the life in church away and you took all of those things away, that is this man that's talking about in Isaiah. Someone who rejects God. Someone who rejects all of those things. So we all have need of that, because each one of us without those things would be like this is saying in Isaiah. And so that's everybody. Mosiah, for the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. We're both saying the same thing. We all have that need. And so it's the same for each. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. Okay. So, study your scriptures. Come to church. Be at peace with one another. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Do those things that God has told us to do. Study your scriptures. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so to have that, we have to have that remission of sin. We have to have that change in our lives. We have to accept Jesus Christ. You know, we are either the servant of sin, or we're going to be the servant of Jesus Christ. Are you willing? Are you willing to be a servant of Jesus Christ? To do as he says? The need for repentance and baptism. Okay, that's part of that. We read that earlier. It's part of that work that has to be done. There is a need for it. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I come unto the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. So God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't divide people in the way that we often do. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day. Then shall I stand to judge the world. Or when I stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not to the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. And so that purpose is there, that we be made righteous, that we be made holy, that we may be clean and spotless, so that we can enter into his kingdom. And so we must allow for that to happen in our lives. We must have that sanctification. We must have that work of the Holy Ghost in our life and the Holy Spirit. We must have the work of obedience in our lives. We must have the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. We must have the work of God in our lives. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and their repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the world and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me the last day. So baptism is part of those steps, but it's not the end. It's part of the work that God does. But we must have that Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost must perform that work within our lives. And we must do all those things to care for that Holy Ghost within us that leads us and keeps us in the path of righteousness, that allows for that work to be done within us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. So we must do those works within his church. We must come to church. Again, I'm going to say it again. We must be subjected to the Holy Ghost and subject to the Holy Ghost. We must ultimately choose to be baptized. For that which ye have seen me do, even so ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Sanctification is a process of growth in holiness. And we must have that. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Be ye not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we must endure to the end and have patience and confidence in the promise. Believing in the saving of our soul. If we've tried to find a way, another path that circumvents God's plan, we're kidding ourselves. We can't get from point A to the end to point B without taking the path and going all the right way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so what is that saying? We got to sacrifice our time. We got to sacrifice ourselves to the will of God. We've got to put away our anger. We've got to put away our hatred. We've got to submit ourselves to the Holy Ghost. And this is our reasonable service. Because none of it that we can do of our own is acceptable to God unless we do it by his will. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt unto every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many members, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth upon teaching, or he that exhorteth upon exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You know, this word cleave, you know, you think cleave, what does that mean? It's to separate something, slice it, pull it apart, cleave it, break it. And it's telling us to cleave to that which is good. Well, the meaning that's meant there is when you cleave a piece of meat or a body, you break it at the joint where it makes sense. It means you don't hack at it at the forebone and break the bone. You do it at the joint and you separate it where it naturally separates. And so what it's saying here is cleave to that which is good. And so here's this good thing that God has for you, and he wants you to cleave to it. He wants you to take it and attach it to you like it's your arm or your leg. It's a part of you. It's at the joint. It becomes useful to you, part of your life. That's why it says cleave. That's why it says a man and a woman are cleave. They cleave together. They become joined at the hip, so to speak. But they become part. And that's why it's saying cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do. Rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And so we can have sanctification and we can be at peace. We can be at peace knowing that God is working in our lives. We can be at peace with one another. And ultimately, we can be at peace with God when that work is complete within us. That natural man is no longer an enemy to God.
Okay, thank you, Brother Rick, for that message. So be turning to